about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We're gonna get better every day. We're gonna be tenacious. Something knocks us down, we're gonna get back up, and we're gonna keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let me tell you about show business. Even though you are a superstar and all that, you have a lot on top of your head that are crushing you down. So it's not right.
Are you on drugs or alcohol?
No, sir.
Do you take drugs or alcohol?
What is drugs?
I am Vartan Asnayan and I got swag.
Where are you from?
I'm from Hollywood, California, Yerevan.
And why'd you like lead cops on this chase?
Because I got swag, I wanted to make it look good.
Okay, all right, so that's where we'll draw the line.
Did you just call me a whore?
And now.
Well, that's a really hard question because,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34.
Hang on.
hold, please.
Okay.
What's happening?
It's Thursday, the 21st of August.
We were looking for the date.
Yep.
Yeah. I couldn't remember what day of the week it was either. I had to ask Muggs if today was Thursday.
I get confused all the time.
I completely knew it was Thursday because tomorrow's Friday.
Well, you're smarter than I am.
Better than everybody. Fine.
I'm definitely losing track of days and times and everything these days.
Sweet.
I don't know what's happening.
I think part of the problem is that we plan ahead some. So, like, today we're going to talk about Friday's show.
Right.
Right.
So then after today's show, we feel like, well, is it Friday already?
There is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we are spending part of every day in the next day, and I think that confuses us. Plus, it's also early, and we haven't really had a chance to encounter other, you know, a lot of other things that have the date on it, like many people might by the time they get to work.
Plus, it's us.
Plus, it's us,
right? That factor.
Brain damage.
Right.
Well, we do have a good show planned for you today, I think, and I want to get started with this story out of Florida. Yeah, every once in a while, you'll see a story where the customers will pay it forward in a business. They'll buy something for the next person in line. You ever see anything like that happen?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this happened at a Starbucks in St. Petersburg, Florida, of all places. A customer yesterday morning going through the drive-thru window decided to pay it forward and buy coffee for the next person in line. And for folks who aren't familiar with that expression, that means she pulls up to the drive-thru window and she orders whatever she wants. And then she says, hey, I also want to buy the coffee for the car behind me. So that happened, and then the next customer did the same thing, and so it went throughout the day until 378 customers in a row purchased drinks for the strangers in line behind them. The pay-it-forward chain at that Starbucks yesterday lasted 11 hours.
Was that organized?
No, it was not planned at all. It was just that each person who pulled up to the window and found out that the person ahead of them had bought their coffee said, wow, that's so cool, I'm going to do the same thing. Lexi Kane, a customer at the store, told the Tampa Bay Times it just makes your day better. Someone started a good thing and we're just trying to carry the ball, said another customer named John Mayers to Channel 9. At around 6 p.m., the hot streak ended when a woman insisted on just paying for her own drink.
Wow.
Barista at the Starbucks told the paper that the customer did not seem to understand the concept. Now, I think this is a nice thing that people do. But I'm very curious how it works for the person running the cash register at the window.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. It would get so confusing.
Because I would think, like, if you're going to buy coffee for the person behind you, does that mean you're clearly not leaving them an open account? Does that mean you give them $4? Does that mean you give them $5?
Yeah.
And what happens if the person behind you is buying something that's either way more expensive or way less? It's not going to be right on. I just don't even understand how you would handle that at the counter.
No idea.
It's a good question. I don't know.
And
if you're
the person who pulls up, you know, as so often happens at a Starbucks, and you've been sent from your office to buy a half a dozen drinks to take back or something like that, then they just say, oh, well, you've got $4 off your order, I guess, maybe is what they do. But just, you know, I've run a cash register before, and I just I can imagine the accounting of that must have been a mess.
If I'm there and somebody pays for my coffee, I yell to them, what time are you going to be here tomorrow? Because I'd like this to happen
again. Let's make it a thing.
Right.
So anyway, I thought that was a nice story, though. Although I don't fully understand how it works on the Starbucks end, it's cool that they were able to keep the thing going. So from yesterday sometime in the morning all the way till 6 p.m., everybody had the stranger ahead of them buy their coffee. So, you know, for all the crazy things we talk about happening in Florida, it's nice every once in a while to see something that's not quite as honked up.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I have no idea what that means.
Cat's mom?
Cat's mom.
Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Yes.
Love him.
Well, you must be really happy.
Yep, we are. Comedian Ralphie May will join us in studio.
What?
Brand new Internet Roundup, Citizen of the Day, King of Mexico is a communist.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
And a guy named Steve Brown, who did a movie about Burning Man.
Sounds great.
It is great. It's fascinating. So we're going to talk to him today as well as
pushing the water out there.
Join us in studio.
It's terrible here.
Listen, I love Kat. If that was my mom, I'm moving out and I'm changing addresses and phones and not letting her know.
It's a little rough.
Right? Yeah. You agree, right?
How bad is that going to be?
Right? Terrible. Can't imagine.
This is the worst summer
all right.
ever.
Okay. Thank you. We will take a break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Hey!
Hey! We're getting worse.
Hey.
We're actually getting worse.
I think that's in happening. So many ways.
Yeah. It's 5:53. This is the Kevin DeBeecho. It's the world famous K-Rock.
Hey, Craig wrote in, among others, who explained some of my confusion about how the Starbucks Pay It Forward might work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He reminds us that the person has already ordered at the previous window. So at the cash register, they can see what the car behind you has already ordered, which might make it easier for you to then pick out one of those drinks to pay for. So perhaps it's not the accounting nightmare that I had feared.
No, that makes it much easier.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, I would think so.
But it wasn't the nightmare that you
thank
were afraid
God
of.
We got that settled. Thank God.
Craig also adds Fire Bear Mug. So if there's somebody named Bear Mug, we should be looking for him.
Too. Bear Claw. We got a guy that's good with Bear Claw.
Bear Claw, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so there you go. It's Thursday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat this week. What's going on?
All this talk about paying it forward. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian. Because she believes
she's a bitch.
She believes in paying it backwards.
What does that mean?
Or paying it internally. Or paying it in herself. Once again, for the second year in a row, Kim Kardashian's charity tax documents have been obtained. And, you know, she goes on eBay famously and sells off all of her used outfits on the auction site for charity, in quotes.
Used outfits that are probably given to her, by the way.
Yeah. Her favorite charity apparently seems to be herself.
Excellent. Good. Perfect.
Apparently, she earned via eBay roughly $440,000.
Wow.
In
her charity
auctions? In her charity auctions.
Uh-huh.
And 10% of that went to charity. So roughly $44,000. $400,000, they're estimating, went into her own pocket.
Wow.
For her charity.
Wow.
Auctions.
And she's paying off Harvey Levin to not report on this? Is that our thinking?
Now, wait for it. The biggest charity that received the majority of her money that she earned via her auctions? The Life Change Community Church.
Uh-huh.
Which is?
Owned by her mother, Kris Jenner.
And is run out of?
Sheraton.
This is all, as far as we know, this is all true.
Yeah. It's all tax documents.
They started a church. They donate to their own church.
Yep.
It's, there's a lot wrong going on here. Tell you that.
And then she claims it's for charity. And look, she makes a ton of money. She could just donate $400,000 to charity, wouldn't even feel it.
With
her app making $80 million this year, or whatever it's going to make. So
right.
You don't think I feel bad?
No, I don't think you do.
Not a bit.
You repugnant.
She's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Here's some good news. The wackos of the Westboro Baptist Church won't be able to protest Robin Williams' funeral.
Oh, good.
Because his body was cremated the day after he died, and his ashes have already been scattered in San Francisco Bay. A copy of the death certificate has been already obtained by the press, and there will be a public memorial service, which is still in the works, and of course, a tribute by his good friend Billy Crystal on the Emmy Awards this Monday night. But in terms of a funeral where the Westboro Baptist Church could make themselves a giant pain in the ass to everyone attending, that will not be happening, so that's good news. I'm not looking forward to the Emmy's in memoriam section.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
It'll be rough.
For everybody. Good news in television. Showtime has renewed one of my favorite TV shows, Ray Donovan. It's been picked up for another season.
Excellent.
And Masters of Sex also has been picked up. So you get those shows to look forward to. And in movie news, Ken Jeong has announced he will be starring in a new movie about a celebrity death pool. I love this idea.
Awesome.
He'll play a struggling nightclub owner in debt to a loan shark who sets out to win a long-running celebrity death pool by killing his chosen celebrity. David Hasselhoff is his celebrity, by the way.
I love it.
So apparently,
so
Ken Jeong,
somebody and then just
Ken Jeong will be betting on David Hasselhoff to die in the death pool in order to make some money. And so, in order to make that come true, he's going to kill that celebrity.
That's awesome.
Hoff will be starring as himself in the film.
Oh, that's great.
So, this is a mess.
Got a lot to look forward to.
Death pool's tough to make money at, you guys. I mean, look, it's easy to pick Don Pardo and Lauren Bacall, but they're not worth very many points when they go.
Right, you know, they're missing the part where he's going to make it happen.
No, I understand. Oh, okay. I'm saying, yeah, moving on from the reality of that TV show, that sounds very funny. I'm saying it's kind of based on a sound concept, which is it's a difficult game to predict.
And just for clarity's sake, it's going to be a new movie, just to let everybody know.
Oh, movie. Gotcha. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Kenny Rogers is 76 years old today, or whoever it is under that face.
Yeah, it's not him, is it? Hasn't been for quite some time.
You see the Geico commercials? Where he's singing, got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him.
No, I have not.
And you wouldn't know who that person was.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a face that is not yours.
Kenny Rogers.
That would make me insane.
For those of you that don't recognize the name, country music singer forever. Huge.
Yeah.
Monster country music singer.
Had a pop rock career before that even.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been in the music forever.
And unrecognizable. You'd see him on the street and you go, I don't know that guy.
No.
No.
No idea who he is.
He's got a beard like Kenny Rogers and the hair is like Kenny Rogers, but the face is... he looks like
a bad Kenny Rogers impersonator. A few years ago, who ran the website, Men Who Look Like Kenny Rogers, and almost everybody on the website looked more like Kenny Rogers than Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
True.
Actress Kim Cattrall is 58 years old today. Serge Tankian is 47.
Glendale!
As is actress Carrie Ann Moss. Kellis is 35 years old today. Brody Jenner, 31. Singer Kacey Musgraves is 26. I love Kacey Musgraves. Actress Hayden Panettiere is 25 years old. Comedian Bo Burnham celebrates his 24th birthday. Singer from the neighborhood, Jesse James Rutherford, is 23 years old today. Don't get me started. And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show business.
Kevin Bean, Internet Roundup for you today. Also, the man who made the documentary about Burning Man, which you might have briefly seen in theaters recently, but now it's going to be on Showtime. So we'll tell you all about that coming up. That's next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, I have to ask, why is this segment called Dave is a Communist? What's going on here, Kevin? You love Dave.
I do love Dave. I loved. I'm going to go past tense with that because
I thought you guys were boys.
We were. At one point,
boys
we were.
With a Z.
All right, what happened?
Ralph, you're in the office a lot, right?
Yes, I am all the time.
So you watch what's going on in
there. It's a nightmare.
Dave, the King of Mexico, has pretty much dedicated his life. And this is really an intervention. He's dedicated his life to watching cute animals online.
Aww.
Stop it, Lisa.
Aww.
Well, he is always...
All the time, he's like, oh, I'm looking at the pendican. And we go, what are you talking about? There's a camera and a panda. We go, what the hell?
Well, he is always pitching his segment, Cute Corner, both
right.
with Kays,
and we
that
turn
he wants
it
to
down.
Do for the Internet Roundup. But he does like to get the animal videos out there.
But don't we say no?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do, because we're afraid you're going to either kill him or have an aneurysm.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's.
But what's the downside in somebody enjoying a cute animal photos or videos on the Internet? Who is that hurting?
Us.
It's everyone around them.
Everybody around Dave.
Do it at home. Do it at home in the privacy of your own home. It's like...
And then you two talk about it.
Right.
On our time.
Yes.
Bean's like, oh yeah, I've been watching NatCam for a long time. You should check this out, Dave. Dave, in the middle of a meeting, goes and gets on it.
Do you have the Polar Bear a Day picture calendar?
Right. This happens all the time.
So I think what the breaking point was yesterday, and again, I'm you know, I'm just a casual observer of this conversation. But
oh, please.
No, it seemed like yesterday, Kevin, that what really snapped for you was Dave was pitching something about Little Bub. And apparently Little Bub was like the last straw for you. Now, what's the problem with Little Bub?
What do you hate, Kevin?
What the hell's Little Bub?
This is Little Bub, Ralph. He's a cat
so
that's deformed, and his tongue always sticks out, and he has big old eyeballs, and he has thousands and thousands of followers on Instagram, and I follow him, and I love him so much.
A cat on Instagram.
Have you seen him? He's the cutest
cat
ever.
You follow a deformed cat.
I do. His tongue's always sticking out, and it is just so funny to see it. Every day, a new picture.
He is a pretty cute cat. You guys have to admit. Little Bub is pretty darn cute.
Little Bub.
Little Bub rips.
But again, what's the downside in spending a couple of minutes here and there looking at Little Bub and
because
going, wow, that's a cute cat.
He's not doing that in his own time. I wouldn't care if he did it when no one was here and he looked for 15 minutes and was what. You guys start talking about it during our meetings. You talk about it in here. Hey, are you watching the panda cam? Oh, yeah, I got it on. I'm watching the elephant cam. Oh, yeah, I got to get to that one. And you sit there and talk about it all the time. It drives us crazy.
We need to go to HR. That's what we need to do.
We do.
Because what if I sat in the office saying, oh, here's my German poop porn. I love my German
right.
poop porn. I've seen this German poop porn. I just put it up on the screen in the office and talked about it all day. I'd be out of a job.
But do you know why Ralph doesn't do that?
Offensive.
Because other people don't want to see that.
That's right. I keep in the privacy of my own home so I don't offend other people. You're offensive, Dave.
No, who's offended by a cat?
Yeah, who can look at Little Bub and not think he's adorable?
Are you going to tell me what I'm offended and not offended by now? Now I'm going to HR for you, too.
You haven't even looked at the picture.
Who cares about what it looks like?
I don't care what it looks like.
So cute.
Look at those eyeballs.
It's a deformed cat.
It is a deformed cat, yes.
Do you not have enough going on in your life? I mean, that you follow a deformed cat on Instagram?
Kevin, he has an extra toe on each paw. He has four extra toes.
Oh, Ralph's got the four hammer.
Four extra toes.
What do you
got? Yeah, but...
All right. What if Little Bub is perhaps not to your taste? Because I know that Kevin and Ralph, you guys are not cat guys. What about Pirate Pug Jack? I mean, I don't see how you could have any. You guys both love dogs. You both have dogs. What's wrong with Pirate Pug Jack?
That's just a regular dog. They dress up.
No, he's
missing an eye, and his tongue sticks out because he has a problem. And
look at the two of you taking such glee in a deformed freaking animal.
It's so cute.
Oh, I love the fact he's got one eye. It's so cute that he can't see very well.
We didn't blind him.
I know.
We didn't make him like that.
No, but you're happy.
You have to make him a pinup.
He has a book that raises money for.
Oh, my God. Ralph's hitting him with a Thor hammer.
All right. But being, you know,
a book.
Pirate Pug Jack and Barkley Sir Charles, the French Bulldog, cannot be friends.
Why is that?
Why? What's
what
their beef?
What are you
talking
about? Pirate Pug Jack is a 49ers fan, and Sir Charles is a Seahawks fan. So they could, but look how awesome Sir Charles
is.
You're good with Sir Charles Barkley, though, right?
What the F is going on?
Yeah, that's what I'm
by
saying.
The way, they're all on Instagram. You guys should check them out. They're awesome.
Could I suggest that neither of them are rooting for any football team?
Because they're dogs?
Yeah, look, he has a beanie on.
Right.
Well, if he's got a beanie on, then he has to have an awareness about football.
Pirate Pup Jack has a jersey with football.
Those animals could probably tell you the starting lineup and all that information.
They play
done.
Fantasy football.
Oh, one of the leagues.
Listen, Kevin.
This is driving me crazy because Dave won't shut the F
Kevin,
up.
Kevin, you don't understand. I work so many hours in this office. We have no windows. I'm going crazy in there.
Right.
So these guys
make us more crazy?
No, these guys bring me a little bit of joy every day.
Can they do
that
quietly?
That's all it is.
Can they do that in your own home?
It's just a little sunshine in the dark, you guys.
Put it on your watch.
By the way, listen to
Bean. Your Get Smart watch there.
Listen to Bean, little sunshine in the dark. Bean's totally down with this.
No, he's all about sunshine, too. Bean's all about sunshine. Sure.
I have a minion on my watch, so I'm good with that.
Because there's no downside, because Dave's not hurting anybody.
Yes, he is. He's hurting me.
Who is he hurting?
Me.
Me as well.
Uh-oh.
Thorhammer, not very loud.
Come on, Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah. The Thor hammer of God.
Here's the thing. Like, you're following a cat on Instagram. Okay, you're damaged. At that point, you're damaged.
Right.
But now you're going to bring it in to everybody else and sort of put it in their face?
Right.
I don't care about it. I don't care about little Bubba or whatever. But
did Jesus hide his message? No, you share your gospel with the world. That's what
gospel.
You do, Kevin.
Kevin, why don't you come with me to the Feline Film Festival at Meet and Greet, and we can meet little Bub.
Aww.
It's happening September 21st.
I'd like to
in
meet
Los Angeles.
Bub with my Thor hammer.
Come with me. He will change your mind.
Ralph and I will do some work on that night.
I'll fix his deformities. His little big eyes
like,
pop right out of his skull.
He'll be like Wayne from The Leftovers, but he'll give you a hug. You hug him, and your pain is gone.
Sounds like a date, you guys.
Let's party.
It's not a date. It's not partying.
Party with little Bub.
Woo! Just keep your stupid Instagram cats and dogs to yourselves.
Yeah, stop
or
it.
Or die.
At Lil Bub.
Those. Like, did you just.
It's
oh,
at Lil Bub.
At Lil Bub.
Stop it.
Thursday morning, got a pair of tickets for you for Chivas USA versus the Los Angeles Galaxy. That is coming up on August the 31st at StubHub Center. You can win those. Comedian Ralphie May on the way, too. But first, how about a brand new Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Got four choices for you today. The first one comes out of Clearwater, Florida. And it was the early morning hours of July 24th. Police pulled over a car that was driving without its headlights and was near the scene of a burglary. The cop walked up and noticed that something was hanging out of the window and quickly realized that it was a pot plant. This person was growing weed and then would take it places but would leave the window open so it could get air or just so the person could get whatever. But the cop walked up and went, okay, you're growing weed right there.
That's so stupid.
That's so stupid, right? So that's story number one.
All right.
Story number two is the Ice Bucket Challenge, which has gone a little crazy. Now people are starting to get really pretty nutty with it.
Trying to be creative, I
They're
think.
Creative. Some of them are great.
You don't just want to be another guy putting water on your head. I mean, people like Dave Grohl have really raised the bar on what can be done with the challenge.
But do you want to do the Ice Bucket Challenge followed by a stun gun?
You absolutely do not.
Does
no.
that seem smart?
Okay, step one. Hurry up, I'm cold. All right.
Here it comes.
Step two, turn the gun on. I'm good. I'm good.
That's insane.
How crazy is that?
Oh, my God.
So when ice cold water in your head isn't uncomfortable enough, this is a way to make your life worse.
Correct.
Hey, Muggs.
Yeah.
You haven't done the Ice Bucket Challenge yet, have you?
No, and I'm not going to taser myself afterwards.
I think you need to be one of the guys who does the Ice Bucket Challenge 2.0 like that person just did.
No, you don't need to taser yourself. We'll do it.
Oh.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Number three for the Citizen of the Day is a woman from West Frankfort, Illinois. She apparently stole a colorful leopard pattern dress from a store.
Mm-hmm.
And then she put it on, and then she took a selfie and put it on Facebook.
Excellent.
At which point, the store called the cops, and the cops picked her up.
These may look like normal pictures, any selfie you'd see on a social media site. But they're not. Police say they're evidence of shoplifting committed by Danielle Saxton. From Morty's Boutique in West Frankfort, where multiple items disappeared last Friday. Kurt Williams co-owns the store. He was heading back to work last week when he saw a woman walking away from the store with those clothes.
Her excuse was that there was nobody in here. We were in the back working and she could just take it.
Williams checked store security cameras and posted about the theft on Facebook. Thanks to pictures on Saxton's account, other users immediately put two and two together.
We just had a description and direction of travel, but shortly after that, when the social media aspect played into it, we were able to identify who it was. We knew her, and by looking at the background of the photograph, we were able to pinpoint where she was at.
They arrested her and later found she was wanted on another warrant in Jackson County.
Good times, smart person.
Yep.
Of course.
That's number three.
But you should always flaunt on social media whatever you've stolen. That's really just good advice.
Number four might be one of the craziest stories I've ever seen. It's a pilot, a 46-year-old pilot, who lost control of an airplane. He had 47 passengers on board. Mm-hmm. It was windy in Ireland. raining hard. He was supposed to land in Belfast. When his arm, which was an artificial limb, fell off.
Oh, God.
So the pilot is trying to fly the plane, and his arm falls off. Now
what?
He's only,
the what?
Now he's only got his left arm.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing where his right arm used to be. He has a co-pilot that has no idea how to fly the plane. So he just goes, well, I'm just going to have to grab it with my left hand. I'm just going to have to force it to the ground, and I'll see what I can do.
That's not a co-pilot if he has no idea how to fly a plane,
You're
by the way.
Right.
That's just a passenger.
It's not a pilot if he doesn't have both arms. isn't the assumption number one that the guy has all his limbs?
I would think so.
I mean, do you want to be in a storm on a plane with a pilot that's arm falls off?
Does his friend know how to attach arms?
No!
I think you want two arms, and I think you don't want a blind guy. I think those are essentials for a pilot.
I can't figure that out.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51. Yes, I'll play it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Brea Improv this weekend for five big shows, two on Friday, two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
Yeah.
That was a moment with Bean.
Five big shows. Five, two, two, and two.
Five
Three
big shows.
Two is five.
Two Friday, two Saturday, and two Sunday.
Yeah, it's five. Sure. Right there.
Again, thanks to the Kevin and Bean listeners who pointed that out, because we don't listen to anything on our own show.
Nope.
None of us heard it.
I actually did hear that.
I did too.
But we were talking about something else. I didn't really want to stop the flow of things, but I'm glad
but
that
this afterwards
person did.
You could bring it up and say, hey, let's go back and pick up that moment with.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Brea Improv this weekend for five big shows, two on Friday, two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
That was a moment with Bean.
We are not good.
Ralph's here. Here's a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
This is interesting. It was 50 years ago this week that the Beatles did their first and only concert in Vegas. They only did one show in Vegas. You have to remember, back in 64, Vegas was not much of a town. They had a couple hotels, and, you know, the Strip was...
Is that when the Mafia ran it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Strip was just starting to come, and downtown really was still where it was at. And it was unique because they were going to play the Sahara Hotel, and they were going to sell two shows for 700 seats each in the Congo room there. But the demand was so big that they moved into the convention center, and everyone snapped up the tickets. They ran from $2.50 all the way up to $5 for the good seats.
Wow.
For the premium
seating. No one's
going to
pay $5 to see the Beatles. Come on.
That's crazy.
The reason I thought it was interesting is because the Beatles stayed at the Sahara Hotel, and they could not leave their room because, of course, they were the Beatles.
Right.
So they brought all the games from the casino floor up to their suite for them to play.
Really? So they could gamble without being...
Brought up slot machines, brought up craps tables, blackjack tables, whatever they wanted in their suite.
That's awesome.
They could gamble in their room. How cool is that? Pays to be a Beatle.
No kidding.
That's all I'm saying.
By the way, they did five shows that weekend. Two on Friday, two on Saturday, and two on Sunday.
That's right.
Because of the demand.
Very popular. Elizabeth Vargas from ABC News has announced she's going back into rehab for her alcohol addiction. And then yesterday, her husband, Mark Cohn, the singer-songwriter and husband of 12 years, told ABC News they are splitting up and he's divorcing her.
So,
good week for Elizabeth Vargas.
That's
I think.
Rough.
Yeah.
If she ever needed a drink, she needs one now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's walking in Memphis and she's walking with a bottle in her hand.
That's
everybody's happy.
File.
Miley Cyrus
File
is upsetting a lot of people because she has Instagrammed a photo of her posing with a giant 5-foot bong decorated with beads, flowers, and toys.
She's so wild, isn't she?
She is
just crazy.
Out of control.
She plays by her own rules.
As a mother who heads up a drug education charity in the UK, is saying she is not a very good role model for young women.
Really?
Is this what it takes for you to realize that? Is it the 5-foot bong that makes you realize that she is not a suitable role model for your kids?
I got to ask, and I know this comes up with other celebrities from time to time, Ralph. Is everyone required to be a good role model for the kids?
No, but I don't think my point of the story was this woman is looking to her to be a good role model for
yeah.
her kids. I can't understand why that was the case.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either. Mm-hmm. And you saw the Parents Television Council is already up MTV's grill about their awards this weekend going, hey, make sure it's safe for the kids. Everything doesn't have to be safe for the kids.
No, it does not.
It's okay for there to be entertainment for adults.
It's been announced on Monday at the Emmy Awards that Billy Crystal will deliver a tribute to his longtime friend Robin Williams. Of course, the two were longtime friends. They'd hosted Comic Relief with Whoopi Goldberg for many years in a row, co-starred in a movie together, Father's Day. He'll appear during the traditional memorial segment of the show, which will also feature a performance by singer-songwriter Sarah Bareilles. So that should be...
Yeah. A little rough.
A little rough for everybody. And Ken Jeong has announced he's going to do a new movie called Celebrity Death Pool about a struggling nightclub owner trying to make money by winning his long-running celebrity death pool by killing his chosen celebrity, who is David Hasselhoff. In case you're wondering, Hoff himself is on board for the movie as well, so this looks like it could be fun. If you want to kill David Hasselhoff, just leave a case of vodka outside his front door.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, he'll do it himself.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny Rogers is 76 years old today. Actress Kim Cattrall turns 58. Serge Tankian, 47. Carrie Ann Moss, also 47. Singer Kellis is 35 years old today. Casey Musgraves, another lovely and talented singer, is 26 years old. Hayden Panettiere turns 25. Comedian Bo Burnham is 24. And singer of the neighborhood, Jesse James Rutherford, is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you ever were interested in Burning Man but didn't want to go to what is referred to as the worst place on earth to see it in person, then have we got a movie for you. The director of Spark joins us coming up later this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, also comedian.
I'm sorry, yes. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Back to you.
Burning Man.
Yeah.
But it is the worst place on earth, though, right?
No. No, it's awesome.
Really? Is there dirt?
There's a lot of dirt.
Is there running water?
There's a lot of heat.
Is there plumbing?
Not specific.
Are there showers?
Not technically.
Yeah, worst place on earth.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about Bernie Bay coming up, also comedian Ralphie Bay. But first, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah, brace yourself. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. It's Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup.
Well, this is hardcore.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
All right, there it is.
We finally are getting around to replacing the Lightning Internet Roundup theme that we've been using for years and years and years. But we like the beer mug theme. I think you did an excellent job there. We're not sold that that's it, that that's the permanent one. So if you have your own Internet Roundup theme, you, the Kevin and Bean listener, that you'd like to upload to SoundCloud and then just tweet us out the link or something like that, we'd be happy
SoundCloud.
To listen to it. SoundCloud. Yeah, we'd be happy to listen to it.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of people out there are very talented with the music. If you want to make your own roundup theme, we'd enjoy hearing from you. So.
And you don't have to use the original words, which Beer Mug did.
Yeah, right.
But thinking that he had to, probably. You don't have to. You can make up your own words.
Well, we got a good batch of videos here. A couple we won't play for you on the radio because they're so visual, like this new Beastie Boys Muppets video. Now, what's the deal, Dave, King of Mexico? You're in studio because you put the roundup up every week.
Yeah.
This isn't new. This hasn't just been unveiled, has it?
Yes, it was a tribute to MCA. It was his birthday recently, and someone posted this as a tribute to him.
But how did they get the real Muppets to do it?
I don't think they are the real Muppets.
Really? Because they look great.
I mean, I think it was something else, and they just used, you know, it's like an overdub.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. So it's Swedish Chef and Animal and Beaker and everybody doing the Beastie Boys, So What You Want. It's very, very cool. You got to see that. Another one that you have to see. We will play some audio from the guys in the car that witnessed this with their own eyes.
Oh, man.
Every once in a while, we bring you video from Russia. And apparently because insurance fraud is so prevalent there, almost every car has a dash cam. Not just police officers. Regular people driving down the street have a dash cam because people are always claiming accidents that didn't happen or whatnot. So, Kevin, you want to describe – I know you watched this video 800 times a year yesterday. Describe what this guy saw unfold in front of him on the highway.
Well, a motorcycle flew by him like he was standing still, and then the car in front of him changed lanes right at the wrong time, and the motorcyclist full-on ran into the back of the car, flew off of his motorcycle – and landed sitting down on the roof of the car that he hit.
Does a front flip.
It's not. I'm telling you, it's not possible.
And lands on his feet.
And he lands perfectly.
Now, a lot of people in the comments are suggesting this has to be either photoshopped or some sort
of
a stunt video. But I don't know how it would be could be done.
I don't either. But it also, the reason that I am sort of with them is because this isn't possible, and it happened.
Oh, man.
It seems like it's too much good luck to get to get into an accident like that, thrown into the air and land on top of a car and not get hurt.
Yeah, some good audio right there.
Those are the Russians commenting on seeing it. But go to the KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com Internet Roundup page and watch the video for yourself and see what you think. There's been a couple of great first pitches thrown out at Major League games. Miss Texas did the honors in that state a few days ago. And I honestly believe, even in the long history of terrible first pitches, including 50 Cent, including our own Kevin, I think this is the worst pitch ever. Here's the play-by-play.
Texas thrown out the first pitch of the game, and that's avoiding the middle part of the play for sure. Looked like my last pitch in the major leagues, just a bit outside.
She literally,
it was 30 feet from the plate.
Oh, she literally, like, bowled it to the dugout. That's what happened.
Yep.
She was bowling the baseball to the dugout. So I tweeted, does this get me off the hook? And everybody's like, nope. No, it does not.
Because you drew blood.
She was standing up.
Well, I will tell you that the next pitch we have, and I have spent a lot of time on this show defending Bob Costas. I am a Bob Costas fan. I like him very much. A lot of people, including you, Kevin, I think, believe he's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
Well, this is a point for you, because Bob Costas throws a pitch that's way outside, probably 4 or 5 feet outside, that the catcher is able to catch. And then he signals for a redo. And if there's one thing I know about baseball, there's no crying in baseball. But the second thing I know is you don't get two chances to throw out a first pitch.
Yeah, that is weird.
And that's what the announcers are talking about here.
Here we go.
Pitch. Yeah.
No! No, Bob! No, you can't get another one. No, no,
Bob, you got a game. You've got a game to call. Get up to the booth, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And his pitch wasn't even that bad. It was just outside. Like,
yeah. He insisted on having another one. And Bob does a lot of games for his hometown, St. Louis Cardinals, so maybe they were giving him another chance because they like him or something. I don't know. Kevin, you're not going to want to listen to this, but there's a site online where you can take the classic Meow Mix theme, you know, the meow, 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 and you can remix it. So here's an EDM cat remix by Ashworth of Meow Mix.
The cat, of course, is singing it.
Oh, yeah.
And then DJing it.
Two things I love, cats and EDM music.
Yeah. See? And that brings us to our next video, Dave. Something else that I'm sure is on your iPod is the annual video from DJ Earworm, where he takes all of the biggest summer smashes of the year and puts them together in one mix. It's pretty cool.
That's just how I feel.
If you like pop music, you'll like that Summer Smash remix. If you don't, that video will give you a headache.
It's impressive, though, even if you don't like it.
He does a good job, Up is one of the most beloved movies of all time, the Pixar animated film. Well, somebody imagine what it would have been like if Michael Bay of Transformers fame had made that video. And it's basically Up with lots and lots of explosions.
This is serious. He's out to get your house.
I believe I made my position to your boss quite clear. He can have our house. We're not dead. I am going to turn on all pivot.
It's crazy how much that looks like a war movie.
I love
it. Up. Someone pulled a I'm not familiar with this this woman, this Jenny, her YouTube channel. Dave, does she do a lot of this sort of prank things like she did on the streets of New York?
This is the first prank I've seen from her.
Same me.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
She's very
same me, I just said. I just said
she's
same
very
me.
Funny. She basically is tired of people taking selfies all the time. So she put up no selfie zone signs like in Central Park or something like that and then walked up to a people, approached people as they were taking their own selfies and threatened to write them a ticket. And it's very funny to see their reactions to her.
We're just trying to keep like the vanity out of the park. It's dangerous. It's vain. The sanitation department takes out garbage. Like I like to think of myself as the sanitation department.
I'm garbage.
No. The money is going to girls with low self-esteem because they're not photogenic. I noticed you guys are taking a family selfie, so I might have to write you double the fine.
I like in the very video funny how they're escorting her out. Like, oh, we can't have someone, you know, posing as a ranger. Like, dude, relax.
Our friends at Honest Trailers are back. This time they tackled Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Get ready for nitpicking. When did Nick Fury stop wearing the bulletproof vest that saved his life in the Avengers? Why didn't Tony Stark find out about Hydra when he decrypted all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s files? If S.H.I.E.L.D. had their hands on the Tesseract for so long, why didn't Hydra just use that to take over the world? That was the Red Skull's plan in the first place, right? And he was the OG Hydra.
A lot of plot holes in a movie sure. When you really stop and look at it sometimes. And finally, in this week's edition of the Kevin Mean Internet Roundup is the best of the ice bucket challenges. And before we hear this audio featuring a bunch of famous people doing the challenge, Dave, what do we have up online right now for people who are trying to keep track of all the celebrities as they come in?
We have a link to a list of every single celebrity, athlete, music star that has done it. We compiled them all, and they're there. And, you know, just go to Kevin's or the Lily Aldridge one or mine, and it's they're all there.
So if you've heard about one, hey, wait till you see the fill-in-the-blank Dr. Dre or Bill Gates or whoever it is, and you want to see it, you'll pretty much find them all at krock.com or at kevinme.com. This clip, by the way, is kind of a compilation of some of the best of the celebrities. I think Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook is in this clip. I think Charlie Sheen, who really poured cash more than water. Weird Al and some others. Listen up.
That was really cool.
Oh,
my headphones! Ow! Oh, my headphones! Ow! Ow!
Oh, wait. That's not ice. That's $10,000 in cash, which I am donating to the ALS Foundation.
Okay, I'm calling out Barack Obama, the Dalai Lama, and the Pope. Your move, guys!
You can see all these videos and so much more right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup!
We've been looking forward to this for a while, Kevin. I know these are your people that go to Burning Man, the 60,000 strong that head out into the desert to create a new civilization. Well, now there's a documentary about the phenomenon of Burning Man. It debuts tonight on the Showtime Network. It is called Spark, a Burning Man story. Director and producer of the movie, Steve Brown, joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You don't even look like a filthy hippie.
Well, I did take a shower this morning.
Explain to people who've never seen anything on Burning Man what it is and why is it?
Oh, my gosh. That is like one of those questions where even if I try to explain it, you go there and it'll be nothing like
yeah.
I...
Yeah, that's like actually... explain America. That's what that question is.
I've been there and I don't know how to explain it.
So imagine 60,000 people going out into the desert with this idea that you can truly be yourself with no judgment and building fantastic huge art projects, then burning them all down and having a huge party.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Who knows? Who
I
knows
think it means something different to everybody who goes, right?
We live in a world where we spend a lot of our time trying to be someone we're not and worrying about how people are going to judge us.
Right.
And this idea that you can have a community that can you take away the money and the status and the power and cover yourself in dust and work on art, it's kind of a special thing. And you go out and do that in the middle of the desert, and then you party all night long and burn it down, and it gets to be a very special thing.
It's like an hour and a half from Reno Drive, I think, if I remember. I don't.
Well, when 60,000 people are all trying to drive out there.
Yeah, maybe it takes a little longer. Steve, I didn't do it the way it's supposed to be done, though, which is they stay there for a week. That's crazy.
Well, how did you do it?
I went out for a day and walked around and was just in heaven. People watching was crazy. They burned the Burning Man. Why? How did that get started and why? That's you do mention that in the movie, but how did they – like, why did they pick a fake man to burn? What sense does that make?
I think there's a lot of symbolism into letting go of yourself and what you're thinking of yourself and how people are judging you and letting go of that and trying something new. There's a lot of symbolism in that, but they never really say what it means. It means something different to
everybody.
People. But the idea that you can kind of leave everything behind and kind of also leave the values of this world behind mm-hmm. and take all that away and just strip that away and try something new is it creates this space and this community to explore who you really are.
And these people will spend the entire year before the next Burning Man working on their these elaborate art projects that are almost impossible to build and take out to the middle of the desert. And I mean, they really, some of them full time for a year.
Well, that's you're kind of describing me working on this movie, actually.
Yeah, well.
A lot of people go like you did first time. They're curious. What is this all about? And they get inspired. It's like your inner child comes out and you say, you know, I have this idea of something I want to do. And then some people come back down from the mountain and actually go act on that dream and do
right.
some crazy project. And all their friends think they're crazy. And they get it done. And it's a really meaningful
thing. And you know
thing.
What else is really cool? It's sort of like Comic-Con, where everybody goes down to San Diego. And they're all just so happy to be there. And that's the exact same thing with Burning Man. There's 60,000 people there. They're all loving it. And it's 120 degrees during the day, right?
Oh,
and it's like
God.
120 below at night. And they stay there for a week, which is crazy.
Well, there's something special about working all the night through building some art project and then having a huge party. And you don't really know. There's not like, you know, who's the celebrity and who's the right. homeless person? Everyone's covered in dust and everybody's wearing some crazy thing. You're kind of anonymous
yeah.
when you're there, but you also can – you're an artist. And so
well,
it's a –
I'm just happy to have a place to wear my bunny suit because when I wear it around the neighborhood now, people look at me like I'm a weirdo. So.
Yeah, but out there there's a billion bunny march.
A billion so, bunnies,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Steve, let's back up one step to how you became a first-time filmmaker to do Spark, a Burning Man story, which airs tonight on Showtime. You had no background in film at all, right?
No. Actually, it was kind of funny because when I was making this movie and then it was coming out in Showtime and theaters and all of this stuff, people are saying, oh, Steve, you're like this Hollywood guy coming in and doing a movie about Burning Man. I'm like, no way. I've never done this before. I'm like a lot of the artists you find out there. Inspired to do something they've always wanted to do and never had the kind of the courage to go for it. For me, that was making a film. For the artists.
Was it because you had been going to Burning Man and were so fascinated with it as a subject that you said somebody needs to make a movie about it?
I went there like Kevin the first time, curious about what it was all about. I realized, oh, this is a lot different than I realized, and this is pretty interesting. I really wanted to get to know the people that created this place and made it happen or started it. I finally got to meet the founder, Larry Harvey, and really interesting person and very philosophical person. And
a weirdo, but authentic.
I realized there was something special there and a very special story. When you're trying to kind of create a new society from scratch and you're trying to design it in a way that it's not about money and status and all the things that we kind of work for in the normal world I thought that was kind of a very interesting experiment, and I think there's some ideas there that there's somebody who's trying to change the world, and a group of artists who are trying to change the world, and I thought it was very interesting.
Where'd you get all the video of them from way back? I mean, it's like 89 or something like that, 90?
So we spent 13 months filming from right. one Burning Man to the next, and we saw them go through some really challenging times just based on the fact that it's growing, and now it's a bucket list item, and it's kind of changing.
Too many people want to go, not enough tickets, that whole thing.
And that gave us a chance to go back and look at, like, when's the last time they kind of had a big challenge and a big crisis because it was growing. And so that was back in 1996 when it got so big and out of control that people got killed out there. And so then they decided they needed to kind of transform and have a little bit more structure to it. And then we kind of got a chance to go back and say, what was the original dream? Why did they go there in the first place? And it really – so we got to go back into all of that. We got into all the archives and looked through that and found those moments to be able to tell the not just the story of people inspired over that 1 year period to do a big art project, but the founders themselves and what it was their dream and that whole 26, 27 year history.
That's fascinating, by the way, to see these principles, these 10 principles that they try to make all decisions based on, and it's run unlike any other event in the world that I can think of. Am I wrong about that, Steve?
So I don't want to spoil the movie, but one of the things after you have this amazing, huge, gigantic party in the desert with 60,000, 70,000 people now, and afterwards, hundreds and hundreds of people stay for weeks to make sure that every single last speck is picked up and is back to the desert is cleaner than before they started. So
really?
That's one little kind of visual you're going to get in the movie at some point where you're going to see this kind of is different than any other festival I've been to where you leave, it's all trashed. And
yeah.
It really is they take those principles seriously, and leave no trace is one of them.
One of the things I love about it, too, is that they're not necessarily artists. A lot of them are artistic, but they're not necessarily great artists.
Right.
It would just be if you were inspired to do something and you just let yourself go, however good or bad it comes out, you don't. It's not about that. You don't care. There's a lot of people that just really work on stuff all year long. And they're not really artists, but they just love it. They live for it.
We called the movie Spark because I believe that everybody has that spark of an artist inside of them. We don't always give it a chance to come out. A lot of times we're afraid. We don't give ourselves permission to go take that risk, to go create something or express ourselves. And the whole idea of Burning Man, what the founder told me, is that he wanted to create a place where people felt that permission to do that, to be that artist that's in there.
All right, we have to break, but I want to ask a question, and then I want you to think about it and tell us when we come back. This movie really downplays, to what I saw, sex and drugs. Is that a choice you made, and why? We need to take a break. We'll come right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Burning Man is all about why not overwhelming why. Why not dress differently, act differently, think differently? Why not?
We use the word ethos, and ethos means a way of life. This is all about identity. It's hard to belong. And that's really in creating this city here. Talk about a powerful sense of place, a cosmic sense of place.
They're investment bankers, they're artists, they're interior designers, they're medical doctors, they are actors, they're models, they're, you know, I mean, you name it.
You name it, they're there.
And you can see them all in the documentary on Burning Man called Spark, a Burning Man story that airs tonight at 8 on Showtime. Director and producer of the film, Steve Brown, in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, for folks just joining us, your question to Steve before the break.
You downplay drug use and sex, which I saw a lot of in the 12 hours that I was there. Why?
Well, actually, if I was going to do a movie on L.A., I could probably find a lot of that, too. But you wouldn't say that's the essence of what L.A. is. But I think if you tell someone, hey, there's 60,000 people. They're going to go to this remote desert. They're going to build these crazy art projects. They're going to have a huge party. And they're going to burn it down.
Right.
The natural reaction is those people must be on drugs.
And so the answer is yes.
So the answer is obvious.
No, but that's sort of the immediate impression.
Yeah.
But I say it's probably the one place on this earth where you can get high without taking drugs.
They don't necessarily all do that.
Well, we were following artists who were on a mission to build something huge and fantastic. And when you're sitting there with a blowtorch and a welder and you're building some 40-foot-high structure, chances are I wouldn't recommend doing that on drugs.
Yeah.
But the story we were telling, the untold story of Burning Man, I think what you're saying is sort of like go to YouTube and talk to people and the sort of the stereotype, but the untold story.
I saw some good stuff.
The untold story of Burning Man is, I think, everything else. The point of a movie is to try to get to the real story under that.
You made a point to not have boobies in the movie, though. That's my complaint, Steve.
Oh, I think you need glasses.
No, there were. But there was more 95-year-old man ass than I was than I was comfortable with. I didn't need to see that.
He asked about boobies, and you know, they didn't have
boobies with pasties. Yes, that's true. There were those.
Wow.
So, Steve, part of the struggle of Burning Man is because it's so idealistic from the beginning, and as you said, it's been going on for what 26 years, something mm-hmm. like that, and it's certainly gone through some growing pains. Is how do you manage something like that safely and make sure that everybody has a good time without anybody kind of being in charge? I mean, that's part of the struggle of Burning Man is you don't want to be the man, but somebody kind of has to make those decisions to make a city work, right?
It's almost like this America kind of goes through this. I mean, how much government do you need? We want freedom, but if you have pure, complete freedom, then you end up with chaos and then you don't have freedom. Burning Man kind of went through that and they realized they needed some structure, they needed some governance or it wouldn't work. And so there actually is an organization there that is working tirelessly to make that possible and create the platform for that. And that's also kind of unseen and invisible.
And they're also sort of not happy that they have to. You know what I mean? Like, they started it so that they could just let go.
But anarchy just doesn't work. That's the problem.
Well, here's the big challenge that was really the core to the story of the film. You create this idealistic society where everyone is included with no judgment. Now what happens when everybody in the world wants to go and there's not room for everyone?
Right.
Someone needs to be the judge. Someone needs to decide who gets to go. How are you going to manage that? How are you going to keep those core values when you grow and get big? That was really the essence of the story that we were following. And it's really a philosophical challenge. A lot of people say, oh, we're sold out. That's great. Raise the prices. You know, that's a good thing. When Burning Man sold out for the first time and people couldn't go, it was like heart-wrenching because this is like this important community was being felt like it was being ripped apart. And you can really see that in the movie because we were filming it very intimately during that time when that was happening for the first time.
And when you were filming the people who were doing the planning, these are the people that came up with the anything goes, no judgment. Now all of a sudden they're in a position of saying somebody does have to control this. Somebody does have to limit the number of tickets. And they hated being in that position.
What happens when the anarchist needs to become the government?
Right.
You know, some ways it was
they were
like,
miserable about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of like, I remember my Western civilization class in college where you go through the whole history of our civilization. We sort of like a compressed version of that in creating this experimental society. All of those same issues coming to bear. And that's why this movie, we focused on kind of these deeper issues because it's really fascinating and it's something that people can really think about and talk about. Like, you know, what is the right thing? What how do you reconcile these things that sort of seemed irreconcilable when it gets big? How do you maintain those core values?
What do you do about law enforcement on site at Burning Man? I mean, clearly 60,000 people, there's going to be some – well, there's going to be some bad eggs and there's going to be some crime. Is there any recourse for those people or is it pretty much just no man's land? It's the Wild West out there.
I think they actually did a study on this and compared the statistics for city compared to cities that size, probably the lowest crime rate of any place on Earth because it's really kind of built on some core values. And it's not easy to get out there. But it's on federal land, and every kind of law enforcement organization in the whole area wants to get a piece of this somehow. But I think the real kind of core, there's the Black Rock City Rangers who actually are part of our volunteers and part of the organization who help kind of be the front line of just helping people stay safe.
Avoid getting in that kind of trouble.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
We're talking again about the film called Spark, A Burning Man Story that debuts tonight on Showtime. Director and producer Steve Brown in studio. I think it's worth mentioning, Anne, especially you know, with all the Hollywood types listening to the show. How tough is it to make your first movie, Steve?
It was amazing. Making a film is an incredible collaboration, and we had just wonderful people working together on this film. I tried to make sure I was the only person on the team who'd never made a movie before.
Yeah.
Make
sure you have experience that you're working with. You also had access to everyone.
And I think,
was that difficult to get?
I think that's the challenge because I'm sure that people every year have said, we want to do a movie about this, and there are other people who try to do movies about it. But I think they trusted me to lead this project because I wasn't coming in here as a filmmaker. I was coming in there as somebody who was a participant in Burning Man, and this was like my art project. And it was a collaboration, and we included as many people as we could to be a part of it. And we really were doing it Burning Man style. And we released it Burning Man style, too. I mean, every city that it opened in theaters, the local community of artists kind of gathered around and were part of it.
And they'd show it, and then they'd burn the place down, right? Or no, that's not that much.
No theater would let you host it because they were afraid.
I'm still trying to figure out how to bring some of that to the city, and that, you know, that didn't quite work.
But you've been bitten by the film bug now. This is your thing now, is you're making more movies, right?
I've never met more passionate, talented people trying to make a difference in the world than I started doing films, documentary in particular. So I met some wonderful filmmakers, and I'm collaborating with several on new productions now.
What, do you have anything that you can tell us about that
working on? There is one that's actually opening on Monday in Claremont. It's a short film about a magical place that's confronting the modern world for the first time. It's actually totally different than Burning Man. It's about actually an island off of Yemen in the Arabian Sea.
And it's true?
It's a documentary.
Documentary. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is a fantastic use of your physics degree from Stanford University, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, let me ask you one more thing, Steve, before you go. And again, we urge you to see the Burning Man movie tonight on the Showtime channel. It is called Spark. I was fascinated with the no cash policy at Burning Man. So if you go there and you want food, do people just give it to you, or do you have to trade something for it, or how does it work?
So the first principle of Burning Man is radical self-reliance, which means don't go there just expecting a handout. Be self-reliant. But they also there's no money. There's no transacting. There's no sponsors. There's none of this like in a normal festival. There's no merchandise. You go there with more than enough for yourself and enough to and something to give away. And so you end up finding a lot of just abundance there. So if you want to be at 4 in the morning, you kind of stumble upon a camp serving grilled cheese sandwiches because that's their thing, to serve grilled cheese sandwiches at 4 in the morning. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of things like that going on. Everybody kind of comes there with the idea that you're going to give more than you take.
Is it trouble that there are people that do show up wanting to just take? Or do those people kind of just get weeded out?
It's, you know, it's just not that easy to it takes a lot of work to actually get out there.
Yeah.
I just don't think you see very much of that.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, the experiment is working then. And it's also fascinating to see that there are now Burning Mans all over the world, too. Numerous other cities have their own. It sounds like an idea that has caught on, and there probably will be a Burning Man in 50 years, 100 years' time.
Well, that was the big idea. Like, is this going to survive when it becomes sort of this big thing? And not everybody can go to Burning Man, but some of those ideas of collaborating on art and forming those kind of communities, those are popping up all over the place.
And this is always the week before Labor Day,
yeah,
if I recall. Yeah. So it's always the end of August.
Right. So we're there. You better hit the road, Steve. Sounds like it's time to go. Showtime tonight at 8. Spark, a Burning Man story. Steve Brown has been our guest. Thanks for the time. We really enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
The great Ralphie May joins us in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's the other Ralph.
It was so funny when Ralphie came in. I said, "Hey, Ralph, I'm Ralph." He's like, "Me too." And we both looked at each other for a moment. It was like, you don't get to meet other Ralphs very often in your life if you're a Ralph. So there was one moment there we just kind of looked at each other, and it was like running across another member of your own tribe in the jungle or something.
I never knew I was related to you.
It was like, it's like when they release an orangutan back into the wild and he runs across his first orangutan. It's like, whoo, 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 whoo. You start to recognize yourself there for a moment.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
Very exciting.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio, sure. Ralph Wiggum.
Sure.
From The Simpsons.
A few of you.
By the way, Simpsons, already on, going. We're an hour in now.
Oh, is that right?
The marathon.
Bean, any questions about that?
FXX. You can see every episode of The Simpsons from now.
Oh, have they aired the one yet where Homer eats a donut? Is that one on yet? Because I love that one.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Look, I'm going to say this, and I'm not a guy, I'm not a crazy Simpsons fan. I don't watch it every week or anything like that. But I feel like we've been spoiled our whole lives by how great that show is, and we take it for granted. It is still one of the best shows on television, and we are still lucky to have it, and we should embrace it, and we should applaud it.
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka, laka, in your face. Boom. Who's your daddy?
What he said.
Right.
This is a weird coupling. There was an event over the weekend in the Hamptons raising money for an education and outreach program. It attracted a lot of celebrities. Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey was there, Spike Lee, Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, Barbara Streisand, Matt Lauer. Big event. Oddest thing that happened of the night, by far. Jamie Foxx dancing on the dance floor with Senator John McCain of Arizona.
That did not happen.
That happened. That happened.
That did not happen.
That happened.
That's awesome.
What kind of magic does Jamie Foxx have if he can get John McCain out there shaking his ass on the dance floor?
I'll bet McCain can really tear it up.
I bet he can.
I ain't saying she's a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no...
Right.
Whoa. I'm just right, saying, so right. If he was out there with Jamie Foxx, maybe, you know, that's the song he was singing.
I like it.
That's all I'm saying. Kim Kardashian.
I'm sorry, who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Gotcha.
Is bad.
Okay.
Interesting tax documents regarding her eBay auctions for charity. Now, she puts her clothing up on eBay.
How often does she do that? Like
yearly, that? Every year.
Oh, every year she does.
Yeah. This is the second year in a row we've got these tax documents. She puts these outfits of hers, used clothing, up in her store for charity, where a portion of the proceeds go to charity.
This is what gives good charities a bad name.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
According to the breakdown, 10% of the money raised by those eBay auctions went to charity. The total was roughly $440,000. That means roughly $44,000 went to charity in 2013. $400,000, or thereabouts, went right into Kim's pocket.
Hmm.
Now, the 10% that was given to charity, the largest charity recipient of Kim's donations is a church called the Life Change Community Church, which, let me see who runs and owns that church. Hold on a second here. Oh, Kris Jenner, her mother, runs that church.
Man, that is...
What a racket.
They are shaky on every level.
They're like a mafia family.
They really are.
The way they launder their money and their scams and their just lies and deceits.
And it's... And it's probably a tax deduction for her, too, to make that charitable donation.
Sure.
Right? So it's helping her on that end, too.
She hands it to her mom hands it back.
What a racket.
I don't know why that's legal, by the way, that charities can keep so much of the money that they raise. I don't understand why there's not some sort of law against that.
Yeah. There's a law, Bean, and it says 5%.
That's my point. Why hasn't that been increased? It's insane. If your operating costs are 90%... Yeah. Of what you're raising, you're not a charity, as far as I'm concerned.
You're ripping people off.
Well, how am I going to make money off my charity then if you change the law?
That's the point.
Why don't you mind your own business? You just don't get it, man. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny Rogers is 76 years old today. Boy, that's a rough plastic surgery job. Right?
Man, I'll tell you.
That's got to be depressing.
Before and after photos, it looks just look different people.
And he was a fine-looking man before the pleasure.
He was. Nothing
just
wrong with him.
Like a regular guy. Just sure. He was all fine. Nuts. Sure. Kim Cattrall is 58 years old today. Serge Tankian is 47. Carrie Ann Moss, the lovely and talented actress, is 47. Singer Kellis, 35 years old. Doesn't she bring all the milkshakes boys to
she
the
sure
yard?
She sure does.
Isn't that her?
That's her.
Not her? Yeah. Casey Musgraves is 26. Hayden Panettiere turns 25 years old today. By the way, it made me very nervous. Hayden Panettiere, who is very pregnant with child, doing that ice bucket challenge thing.
Oh, you're afraid it was
that can't be good for you.
Trigger something?
That can't be good for a fetus if you're dumping ice cold water all over yourself. What the hell's she thinking?
Just donate.
Man, just write a check. How cheap are you?
You don't really have to do it.
Don't put your fetus life at danger. comedian Bo Burnham's 24 years old today, and the singer of The Neighborhood, Jesse James Rutherford's 23, and Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey!
I think that's more of a woo.
Woo!
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a woo. It's not a hey.
It's the world today.
I accept your scorn.
K-Rock, this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:08.
There's a lot of ways to get in touch with here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we got our Instagram page. We got our Facebook page, krock.com. You can always email us. A lot of people reach out to us on Twitter at Kevin and Bean. And a few weeks ago, we got this to us delivered to our Kevin and Bean account. Hey, guys, did I do something to you? I've lived in L.A. for 16 years and have never been on the show. It's cool, too. I'll just F off. Sincerely, Ralphie May. Not at all. We just didn't know you wanted to come on the show. Please
oh, man.
Ralphie
are you kidding me? Y'all are legends, man. I'm a radio geek. I didn't know if I'd just been a jerk or something. And I was just like, hey, man, if I am, I get it. I'm sorry.
Wait, you were serious you were serious about maybe you offended us?
Yes, yes.
Because we thought that was just a funny joke.
No, no. But, oh. Okay, then yes. That's exactly what I meant. No, I just, well, I was nervous that I upset y'all or something. And I was like,
have
oh,
you burned a lot of bridges or something, Ralph?
I have. And it's taken me a while to get mend them back and or try to. And at least I just say I'm sorry. And then I got peace of mind that, you know, I gave it my shot. And
You didn't offend us in any way that I remember.
Oh, good. Yeah.
No,
good.
Not
good.
At all.
Good.
But here's what's happening, I think, because we have a lot of comics in on this show. I mean, and usually it's because they're like you. They've got gigs coming up. Robbie's going to be at the Irvine Improv starting tonight, playing all weekend long. Improv.com, just $25. Meet and greet VIP tickets available for $50. So we have people in all the time because they've got gigs in town. I mean, yeah. Saget was here yesterday. Jay Moore was here the day before.
Love
I just
JJ.
Think you haven't had like a publicist or something who's pitched you to the show is all.
Maybe. I don't know. I have to get on to her. I have to.
Well,
why didn't you do this? I don't know.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like you've got Ralph Garman and you got Lisa May. So yeah, I mean, I've been here in essence. You know, maybe y'all feel like you had enough Mays.
That
Ralph.
Could be.
So take me back here, Ralphie, because I'm so interested in your story. You burst onto the public consciousness on the first season of Last Comic Standing, which has to be now over 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, 11 years.
You did not win, though, right?
No, I came in second. And it was weird because what I thought was like, this is a travesty, you know, but I'm like, you know, I'm kind of doing TV shows. You know, I went on Kimmel right at that night, and I was doing other stuff, and then this groundswell of people, and then I realized I've seen this before. It happened in Metallica in '88 when they lost the heavy metal of Grammy to Jethro Tull.
Right,
right.
Okay,
which
and
was
it was
absurd.
Which was absurd, and that's kind of what happened to me. And so my first album sold like 1.8 million, and then the next one, and it just kept on going. You know, I've had five albums. I've got two more coming. We just signed a deal with Netflix, and they just keep on selling. And well, I don't get it. I'm just telling me, you know, people love it, though.
Look,
so.
If we learn anything from American Idol, it's that the winners aren't the ones that necessarily go on and have careers. Sometimes
that's
it's
right.
Two, three, four, five,
yeah.
Top ten.
That's right.
I don't even know where he is.
I was going to be my question. Where's Dat Fan? I mean, at some point, you're going to run into him as your barista, right? I mean, that's going to be awkward a little bit for you guys.
I had heard from the comic Grapevine, and I thought they were making a joke that he had – this was years ago – that he was he'd taken time off from comedy to work at SeaWorld in one of those action shows.
Huh.
And I
find
was,
that hard to believe.
Well, he was really into martial arts, and
he
likes shiny things, and those seals are shiny.
Sure.
Yeah, so I want to say, if people go, you're kidding, right? And I'll go, no, if I was joking, I'd say he's a waiter at P.F. Chang's. You know, I just didn't know what to say. You know,
well, it's
like
worked
nice
out
guy.
Well for you. Now, were you a guy who was already trying to get into comedy when went on Last Comic Standing? You were. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you're
yeah.
already doing it.
I've been doing stand-up at that time for 14 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Then you're way older than you look. And I mean
I'm
that as 40. A compliment.
I'm 42.
You're how old?
42.
No way.
You
got such a baby
younger.
Face.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You know, smoke a lot of weed and don't have a lot of stress. You know?
Yeah, all right.
You live life easier.
I like it.
You know?
That sounds like a
good
plan to me.
I've got a beautiful wife, though, and stuff. But I started in 1989. I won a radio talent show contest in Arkansas and got a chance to open up for Sam Kinison.
Oh, wow.
And Sam liked me, kind of took me under his wing a little bit. It was the first limo ride I'd ever been in, was the one that he was taking him to his show. And he's like, kid, are you nervous? And I go, no. He goes, kid, there's going to be 3,500 people there, and nobody paid to see you. And I go, okay, I'm a little nervous.
Now
I'm a little nervous. And he goes, well, if you get into trouble, just start screaming and yelling at the audience and cussing them out. The more you scream and yell and cuss them out, the more they'll love you. Really? Yeah. Okay, so I'm doing really good. I'm only supposed to do 7 minutes. I'm at 5 minutes, and I'm killing.
Okay.
All right, and then I flip a punchline and a setup, and a joke bombs, and then that joke was predicated on the first joke doing well.
Right.
Like it had, like, the four other times I'd done it, and that joke bombed, and I felt the silence, and I'm like, I remember what Sam said, and I'm like, hey, you stupid inbred, Ned Beatty, pig banging, y'all bang your mothers. Okay. 3,500 people in unison. Boo! Boo! So now I'm really starting to cry on stage. So I leave stage. I'm 17. I'm a little kid. All right. And Sam comes on and goes, can you believe that kid coming out and talking to you good people like that? He will never be a comedy again. Oh, oh, oh.
That is awesome. A total setup.
It's a total setup. Okay. And so I'm backstage and I'm calling my mom Collect on a payphone, okay, to come pick me up because I left my car at the Shakey's Pizza where the contest was. And Bill Kennison, Sam's brother, comes up and hangs the phone up and says, kid, Sam thought that was hilarious. He never thought you would do it. You set him up perfectly. You know, because he was getting protested a lot at that point. And everybody
so
loves
him. Everyone thought he was mean.
Yeah,
right. He needed you to take a bullet.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know that. And he's like, he wants you to come to the after party. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, a Sam Kennison after party in 1989 was no place for a 17 year old boy.
No, that's probably
true. I'm 42 now, and I wouldn't go now. Okay? There were rails of blow. There was the booze was everywhere.
Sure.
Chicks were everywhere. Everybody's smoking. Sam comes out of a room, does a big line, and goes, kid, order some pizza. And apparently, because I've never done cocaine, because honestly, I don't need another risk factor.
Right.
Okay, I didn't know that that's a shock. Like no one ever does blow and eats. Okay,
yeah.
And so I ordered the pizzas. Like you said, he paid for the pizza when it came and tipped them three bags of cocaine, three little bags.
God. The 80s were great, weren't they,
80s Ralphie? Were great. Okay, 80s were awesome.
That pizza delivery guy's like, unbelievable.
30 minutes later, we get a phone call in the hotel room. Do y'all need more pizza? If you need some more pizza, we'll bring it over to you. No problem. So he told me to move to Houston, and he introduced me to Rock 101 KLOL, Stevens and Pruitt, that were huge and instrumental in him blowing up. And being, they'd been with him since the early 80s when he was just a Texas comic. And they kind of took me under at his behest under their wing, and
that's
how
nice.
We were
that's
radio a, and stuff like that. It was awesome.
That's a wonderful mentor story to have. By the way, we had Sam on a lot back in the early 90s too. He was a frequent guest on our show, and he was great. I mean, there are so many comedians. There are very few who are so unique, though. There was nobody like Sam Kennison. He was one of a kind.
Nobody. And nobody since. There's a lot of people who try to be Bill Hicks. There's a lot of people who try to be
Dice.
Mitch Hedberg and Dice and stuff like that. But no one can do Sam.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's
right. It's him. It's him.
Ralphie May is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's doing the Irvine Improv, a Thursday night gig tonight, and then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then the Sunday night show. You can get tickets at improv.com for just $25. And this VIP seating meet and greet, is this something you do for a lot of your shows, Ralphie?
Yeah. People wanted a way to get the better seats, and they wanted a way to skip all the lines.
Uh-huh.
And
do they want to sit on your lap? What do they want when they get to you, when they finally meet you after the show?
Sometimes they do want to sit in my lap. I get a lot of just like take pictures, family stuff. But I also get, it's weird because I'm a fat guy and you wouldn't expect it, but I get a lot of dirty, nasty proposals from women, okay, to do
that's
lots of dirty,
rule,
naughty
right?
stuff.
That's why women rule.
Yes, yes. They really do.
They really do.
And their husbands or boyfriends would be on the other side of me and they're whispering this in my ear and I'm just like, what? Oh my God. And my wife, She gets it too the other way, you know. She gets dudes propositioning her. My wife is smoking hot. She's a great comic too. Her special just came out yesterday, so it's kind of a big day for us.
What's her name?
Her name is Lana L-A-H-N-A Turner T-U-R-N-E-R, and she's smoking. You won't
Fantastic.
Believe that she's my wife, and she's a mother of two, and she's like 115 pounds. It's crazy, big cans. You know, I still have the best boobs in the family though. I still have the best.
You don't want to give up that crown.
No. You keep that one until you
correct.
Die.
That's correct.
Ralphie May is here. We'll take a quick break. Come back more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Making his long overdue debut on the Kevin and Bean Show, the great Ralphie May in studio with us here on K-Rock right now. He'll be at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday night. Go to improv.com to see Ralphie. Tickets are just $25. I'm taking a look at this picture of your wife.
Yes.
If These Lips Could Talk, is that the name of her? Is that an album?
That's
special?
That that was a music album. The new album is...
All right, I don't care about that, Ralph. What I care about is she's ridiculously hot.
Yeah, ridiculously hot.
Now,
yeah.
How did that happen? Because you're a big man and you own that, but you've also got comedy in your favor.
Right.
How did you woo this beautiful woman?
You know, we met, my goodness, 15 years ago in Houston at a comedy open mic. She was doing stand-up, and we were friends for like 6-8 months, and it just kind of grew out of that. It just
did you envision that in those 8 months? For
no, not at all.
Just
no. She's way out of my league. I mean, my wife is an incredible woman from a great, well-to-do family. Her father is an executive with Exxon. Okay, they were part of. They lived in the richest part of Houston.
Did they love you?
No, they hated me for years. They still don't care for me that much, but the kids have kind of toned it down a little bit. But no, I said 3 years before our wedding that if we got married, her mom would wear black and it would match the bags underneath her eyes. And she did. And she did. So it's like it was amazing that I called that. But no, she hated my guts. I'm not Jewish. I'm fat. Okay. I was the first one to ever stand up to her because she was first time
true
I met
mother-in-law, you mean?
You know, she wasn't my mother-in-law then. She was
just the
mother of a friend of mine.
Right.
And I said, this is how it started. I come in, and this is how much they didn't want my wife to do comedy. I go, Mr. and Mrs. Turner, it's a pleasure to meet you. You should be so proud of your daughter. She's so funny. She's killing. And they go, who are you to tell me about my daughter? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that was our first How to Do It. And that led to a 2-hour, what we call the dinner. And it's where it just came down to she was attacking me and what I do for a living. And I go, you know, I don't have a degree, but I'm at the time I was 26 and I have no bills. I've paid off my car.
Yeah, you got a skill.
Yeah,
you're making a living.
I'm making a living. I love what I do and I do what I love and I make people laugh. And so I don't think that's. Needs a piece of paper to vilify who I am. You know, I go, do you have a degree? She goes, yes, I do. Are you using it? No. Well, okay. All right, exactly. It sounds like you wasted 4 years, you know, and I spent that having a lot of fun. So, you know, that's how it goes. But, yeah, they did not care for me at all. Oh, my God. But, yeah, the wife
it sounds like it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out great. You know, but I've always done good with women. You know, my girlfriend before my wife, her name is Tara Weissmuller. She's the granddaughter of Johnny Weissmuller. She's a model. And so I've always done really good with women, and I don't know why.
What's the secret? I was going to ask. Is it comedy?
Let me
butt in and go, hey, Beer Mug, the problem we just figured out is you're not fat enough. That's what's your problem right now. Listen to Ralphie. He's getting it done.
But or talented, B.
How dare you?
So. Well, I have a lot of, you know, I always said, you know, talk to the hottest chick first and work your way down.
Okay.
I like that. You know, let the market set the price. Okay, you know, that smoking hot chick might have low self-esteem. You don't know.
Now, you
okay?
hope.
You hope.
Right.
You can keep your fingers crossed, okay? And then, you know, just work down and see where you're at. And that's just what I did. I took the shot. And a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of beautiful women complain they don't get hit on. They don't get asked out. They don't get...
They say that a lot, yeah. It's
yeah.
true. Because guys are intimidated.
They're intimidated. Yeah. And I already realized I wasn't getting laid. You know, if the worst thing happens is I go home, I drop a load, eat a turkey pot pie, and watch Sports Center. That's a strong Thursday night. You know? If that's the least that can happen.
That's the American dream right there.
Yeah. Then all right, I'm already winning. You know what? I'll take a shot.
Do you think, Ralphie, and I'm always fascinated with the path that people take to comedy. Obviously, you started out very funny. You have an outgoing personality now, but did this come out of some sort of bullying as a kid or anything like that? I mean, what was it? What was your situation like growing up? Were you always big?
You know, I was a little bit big, but I wasn't nearly like I was just a little bit chubby. But I was country strong, you know, where I'm chubby, but I was just really Herculean strong. I mean, from hauling hay, you know, you get a quarter of a penny a bale, and you make $40 a night. You know,
that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of hay you're hauling. Okay?
Wow,
and that's just what we did. You know, we were just like that. But no, I never got picked on by people in general. My brother was amazingly abusive.
Well, that's a brother's role, isn't it?
Well, my brother was a little bit more. Oh. I mean, I was 5 years old, and he kicked me in the head and broke my orbital bone and my nose. And
oh,
put
my
me in
God.
Hospital.
I thought you were talking about regular.
No, no. He was a real dick.
Wow.
He was a real dick. He's bona fide. Okay, yeah. I haven't talked to him in 5 years because he threatened to kill me because I wouldn't pay for a house for him. All right. And,
wow.
I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Just enough. You know, I had enough of that mess growing up, and it's like, I'm fine now. I don't need that drama in my life.
Wow. It's so weird to hear you say that because we had Fluffy on not too long ago, and he was talking about how after he became a successful career, his father, who had abandoned him as a child, came out of the woodwork. Not that it was exactly the same that he was looking for something, but when you become famous, I guess the relationship does change, even with people in your own family sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And it's so funny you mentioned Gabriel. When I first flew to L.A., it was a week after like the second Latino Laugh Festival in San Antonio. And I had met Gabriel there and some other comics. And I was flying into L.A. and my buddy goes, hey, my car broke down. So I got this kid, Gabriel, whose mom is borrowed his mom's car, and it was Gabriel Iglesias. All right, so me and Gabriel, and Gabe's first words were, hey, you want to go to Sizzler? All right, and I'm like, yeah, let's go to Sizzler. I don't even know what it was. I'm like, sure. All right, and
Blood Brothers for life.
I know, and at the time I was trying to be vegetarian.
Well, that's
vegetarian.
Where you go, Sizzler.
And he goes, what do you eat, crops? Okay, he's hilarious. And so we became good friends quickly. He's a good pal of mine. I'm so happy for his success. I'm a weird comic because I love to see other guys doing good, and it's like everybody's like, I'm never really worried about them compared to me,
right?
Because it's like, if you do that, it's kind of a small world,
yeah,
you know. But if you're happy with everybody, it's always wonderful to hear these great things.
Seems like the comedy community is like that. Pretty much. Not everybody, of course. But it does seem like a lot of people are rooting for each other.
Yeah, because it's such a hard thing to make happen, for any success to happen, that when you finally see somebody do it, you go, ah, great, man. I want to hug your neck. That's awesome. I can't believe you did it. Good for you. Take all these white people's money. Yeah, that's awesome. You know?
Well, I can't believe we're going to have to leave it there for right now, Ralphie.
Okay.
But I'm so glad we had a chance to meet you and have you come in.
Man, I love you guys. Thank y'all for this.
You're
is
very
so nice.
Kind. Irvine Improv tonight. Let me get out the plug one more time if you want to see the great Ralphie May on stage. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, improv.com. There's tickets for just $25, a little more for the VIP seating and the meet and greet. And I hope you'll come back and see us again soon, sir.
I certainly will. Thank you very much for having me in, everybody.
You bet.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about the Afro Line on the air, our voicemail machine that you call anytime, 24/7 at 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about this week?
Well, we have a frequent caller who we have nicknamed Angry Guy because he's an angry guy.
Hey, Ralph Garbage. Guess who called me the other day, Ralph Garman? Your biggest fan, Duavid. He told me he just finished buying one of your best comic books. And he's planning to go to one of your Babylon booth shows to get that signed. And if not, he'll break your Irish balls.
He started out hating you, mostly.
Yeah,
Kevin.
It was me, Kevin, yeah.
And now he seems like he's passing it around. He hit me a little bit. It was down on Omar for a while. Now apparently he's turned his attention to Ralph.
Sometimes he puts you and I together.
Hello, Kevin and Bean, you cowards. I forced myself to listen to just a portion of your piece of radio show this morning, and it still sucks, moron.
I'm cool.
I don't
though, right?
disagree with a word that he said.
Lisa's cool, but, right?
Of course, you're always cool, Lisa. But why does a guy like that keep listening to the show if we upset him so much?
I don't think we do. Gene Simmons does.
Hey, Mr. Simmons, kiss my ass, you octopus.
This is in reference to Bean, who I don't remember how. I think you started with Half Christmas, did you? Was that?
Oh, yeah, he did that.
Half Christmas
he
is a thing I enjoy and support, yeah.
Half Christmas, everybody.
Happy Half Valentine's Day.
Oh, see, I guess you could slice and dice the calendar for any number of holidays.
Right, or not.
Or you don't have to.
Or not.
You guys remember when you talked to a guy who didn't throw away his trash for a whole year? That happened. You talked to a guy for a year. Just stop it. Just stop.
Listen,
we did.
Are we? Honestly, that did happen.
Yeah.
Are we getting in trouble now for stuff we did like 5 years ago?
Seems unfair.
I was curious why today in 2014, right. Sustainable Dave is upsetting to that guy. And by the way, I would just like to say, I wouldn't vote against a follow-up phone call to see how Dave's doing.
Yep, I'm all right with, I think, leaving it like it was.
Really?
Yeah, it was perfect the way it was. Yeah. Another fan.
God, I hate you guys.
Okay. This is a woman who's very disappointed in me, Kevin.
I was going to call in for the latest call-in topic, but then I realized that Kevin was just going to hang up on me. So, you know what? Forget it.
Aww.
Good thinking.
Kevin.
Good thinking.
You, Kevin. Asshole. I go to wrong airport. I go to wrong terminal. I get on wrong bus, but I get on the right plane. You're a Muppet. You know that? You're a goddamn Muppet. Oh, bitch.
That shut up, Bean. That wasn't that funny.
I've ever heard.
You are. That wasn't that funny.
Lisa, he's a Muppet.
He's a Muppet.
How dare you?
He is.
I'm not a Muppet.
You are.
How am I a Muppet? How am I a Muppet like?
Because he just described what a day is like for you is like a day on the Muppet Show. We're all supposed to learn a valuable lesson at the end about paying attention or reading directions or something.
How dare you?
Hey, Lisa May, I heard you have a dog named Boner. I also got a dog named Boner. And by dog, I mean and by Boner, I mean my oh, yeah.
Well, that was clever.
It was hot, right?
How you resist.
Yep, clever and hot.
This guy, even more clever.
Hey, Lisa May, I'd like to finger poke your chocolate. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. Is that much?
No.
Is that hot?
That's not hot.
Angry guy is back and he hates Lisa.
Oh, no.
Is this the first?
Yes.
I believe it's the first time he's turned his considerable anger toward Lisa.
No, Lisa May. Guess who called me? Duavid. He told me he loves the way you do your traffic reports. So he wants to cook you dinner. For dessert, he'll cut off your head.
Oh, my God.
Wow, I thought it was going to be nice at first.
From Angry Guy?
I don't know. I had hope.
You expected nice from Angry Guy. That's crazy. He's back again this time. Oh, no, I'm not sure if it's him, but somebody's upset with Bean accidentally said the word Tupac.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of Tupac.
Yeah.
He clearly knows the man's name is Tupac.
Yeah.
But he did say Tupac.
I think the angry Afro guy is too angry because he listens to too many Tupac CDs. I hate you, Bean. I hope you choke on a cashew. Die.
If I had to die by peanut, though, the cashew would be my first choice because that is the best peanut.
What keeps us going? These kind of calls. This kind of love.
Yep.
I'm listening to Showbiz Beat, and you guys are talking about how Bean got so excited when Weird Al DM'd him on Twitter. But I think Bean would get more excited if Weird Al DP'd him in real life.
Okay. All right. That's enough. No. Stop it. Just stop it. Our love is pure. Don't try to soil it.
That's with that guy.
It's not like that.
323-520-AFRO.
Blang, 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 blang.
I'm not a Muppet.
You are a Muppet. You are that guy is a genius, and no one has ever described you more succinctly than that guy. You are an effing Muppet.
I'm not a Muppet.
You are absolutely
a Muppet. How am I a Muppet?
You're a human Muppet, because Muppets go through love like, they just bounce around with their big felt heads bouncing around, and they just end up, luckily, wherever they're supposed to go, because someone has their hand up their ass, and that is your life.
And we're all the hand, I guess, right, Ralph?
He's got several hands up there. He's got his wife. He's got whoever happens to be minding him at the moment in Vegas when he's face down in a pizza with a vodka Red Bull up his butt. Whatever state he's in, he's always got someone
drink vodka Red Bull with my butt.
Someone minding him and keeping him from death.
Not a Muppet. Just like you have puppet masters.
That's right.
People to look after.
You are a Muppet.
Hey, Ralph, are you giving anything away here?
Let me see what I got in my pocket. Hold on a second.
I just meant, can I use the phone real quick? Before we get into showbiz here.
Lint.
He's not looking for anything from you.
Chivas USA versus the LA Galaxy is happening August 31st at the StubHub Center. Tickets on sale now at cdchivasusa.com. Why not win them for free right now at KROQ at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 through 13. They're yours. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Oh, my voice is just trashed. I'm suing you guys.
For what?
Ruining my voice. Mm. Your wacky comedy bits.
Can't sue a Muppet.
That's true.
Now I'm a Muppet.
Muppets have very shallow pockets. Adam Driver, star of Girls, soon to be seen in the next Star Wars movie. Fascinating backstory. I did not know this was the case. He enlisted in the Marines after 9/11.
Really?
Wow. Was a Marine. I didn't know he was a Marine. He enlisted, he said, because it was a badass thing to do. All right, easy. He wanted to serve his country, and he said he formed some very close relationships with his fellow military men. Unfortunately, he was medically discharged after breaking his sternum during a mountain bike ride.
Oh, my God.
He was sent home from the Marines, and he said being sent home is something that still kills him, that his friends are still back there, many of them fighting overseas, and he was sent home for a medical discharge. How tough could his life have been if he was riding around on a mountain bike in the Marines?
Yeah.
Guys are getting shot at and stuff, and he breaks his sternum on a mountain bike.
Yeah, true.
But I had no idea he was a Marine. That was fascinating to me.
He's a good actor, by the way.
He is a good actor. Emma Stone, she's a good actress. She's going to take over the lead role of Sally Bowles in the Broadway revival of Cabaret.
All right.
I'm moving to New York to watch every performance because I love her. She will be joining the cast starting November the 11th, replacing the departing Michelle Williams. This is the production at Studio 54 where Shia LaBeouf was there, smoking pot in the back and grabbing people's ass and falling over and getting thrown out and stuff. So maybe something exciting will happen while Emma Watson is there. Emma Stone is there. It'll be me. I'll be the guy thrown out in the back. I love you! Drunken douchebag in the back. This is good news. Showtime has renewed both of its hit dramas for another 12-episode third season. Ray Donovan, starring Liev Schreiber. Sweet. Be back for a third season. It's been so good this year. And Masters of Sex. Story of real-life sex researchers William Masters and Virginia Johnson. Will be returning as well. So that's good news for those guys. Is that Lizzie Kaplan and Michael Sheen starring that? They're good. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny Rogers is 76 years old today. Kim Cattrall is 58. Serge Tankian, 47 years old, as is Carrie Ann Moss, most famously probably from the Matrix films. She is 47. I've been informed by several people it's Kelis. It's not Kellis. It's Kelis.
Okay.
She's the one whose milkshake brings all the boys to the
yard. Oh, I see.
That's right.
35 years old today.
We should play Dr. Drew singing that. Didn't he do that, Bean? Don't we have a...
I don't remember...
We'll search for it.
...the doctor's version of that, but that sounds awesome.
Isn't he up next? Isn't he on next? We can do it live. Have him do it live.
He is.
Casey Musgraves is 26 years old today. Hayden Panettiere turns 25. Comedian Bo Burnham is 24. And lead singer for The Neighborhood, Jesse James Rutherford, 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings, about this time, we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline at 5 nights a week here on KROQ, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 6. I understand the doctor is in New York calling us from a train station right now. What's going on, Doc?
Well, it's the subway station. You know, I mean, I'm so organized. I didn't realize the time change. Forgot when I was supposed to call you guys and then jump off a train and call.
Love it. Right. Well, we appreciate that. What are you doing in New York, by the way? I think you were in, like, Atlanta last week when we talked to you.
Atlanta, I did something for CNN, but I'm actually doing a Teen Mom reunion. We're way ahead on the Teen Mom series. Stay tuned, everybody. There's a lot of stuff going down with those young ladies.
Are you running from the law?
I am on the lam, if that's what you mean.
That's what I'm asking, yeah. That Teen Mom show is so awkward for folks who haven't seen it. Dr. Drew impregnates these girls.
That's
and
not
then
how
their and then their parents force them to have some sort of a meeting on television to discuss custody arrangements.
That's
it's
kind
of weird. It's a weird show. Hey, listen, Doc, I'm glad we're talking to you this week because we spoke with you recently about your ice bucket challenge, which was great. And then you started a chain of events that involved Kevin doing his and then the people that he challenged and they were all done and mission accomplished. And it seems like there are very few people who haven't done the ice bucket challenge yet. And it's been incredibly effective. In 3 weeks, there have been over $31 million in donations for research into HLS, ALS. A lot of people don't know too much about that disease, though. Is this the type of disease that you can throw enough money at and they are going to figure out a way to crack it, or is that a long ways off?
You know, it's funny. It's stunning to me that people don't know about this condition. It has a very storied past. You know, its sort of common name is Lou Gehrig's disease. And after Lou Gehrig, who himself died of the condition, spoke about it, and, you know, he has this that famous speech in Yankee Stadium where he said he's the luckiest man in the world, and then deteriorated into nothing after that. People had an awareness of what this thing was. And I said to realize with this particular campaign that they really didn't is shocking to me. It's one of the most horrific neurodegenerative diseases you can get, and it's remarkably common. I mean, that's what started this whole thing, was Pete Freitas getting it and, you know, his friends trying to support him. And it's a devastating, progressive, it's one of the biggest heartbreaks I've ever had as a physician was watching patients, wonderful young people, usually not as young, not in their 20s, usually 30s, 40s, 50s, sometimes even older, but watching wonderful people just absolutely deteriorate. What it does is it attacks specifically the motor neurons and the nerves that control your motor system. So every single muscle in your body fails. That's your ability to breathe, your ability to move, your ability to speak.
Wow.
Everything goes. So you're basically locked into a body that just becomes completely non-functional.
And are we miles and miles and miles away from a cure, or are we close?
And that was the question you guys asked. It's a disease that's had some remarkable breakthroughs in the last 20 years, and they are close. I don't want to say that it's, you know, we're going to wake up one day and it's going to be over like a polio vaccine or something, but it's a disease that there's a tremendous understanding. There's been fantastic breakthroughs in terms of working out the biology, the genetics, the biochemistry of this disease, the immunology of it. It's pretty worked out. And when you have that much information about a condition, it's only a matter of time before you figure some way of attacking it. Because you can always find different, you know, sort of points in the chain of the deterioration or the after the, you know, the progress process.
Right.
Where you can at least slow it, if not stop it.
All right, let me ask you this then, Dr. Drew, about probably next to Lou Gehrig, the most famous person who's ever been a victim of ALS has to be the scientist Stephen Hawking. How was he diagnosed with it in his 20s and is still alive 30 or 40 years later, however old he is now? I thought it was something that kind of moves more quickly than that and then you die.
Yeah, I have wondered the same thing myself. I don't really understand his situation. There are sort of different manifestations of it. Obviously, he has one version. I don't get it. I mean, as you see, he has to be on a breathing machine. Obviously, he can't talk.
Right. Talks through a computer.
But they have very, you know, skin breaks down. Their cardiopulmonary system doesn't work right. He doesn't seem to have had those sorts of complications. And I don't understand why. I don't understand how he's able to get around it. So I don't know if it's just he's willing to live with it and found solutions to each problem and is able to afford those solutions, or it's just something about the way he has deteriorated that he just not have those complications.
As a result of the Ice Bucket Challenge bringing awareness to this disease, we've heard from a number of our own listeners who suffer with ALS. And if you just saw their writing on a page, it's clear that they're obviously very smart, articulate people. So it doesn't affect the brain, right, in terms of what's going on inside. It's just your body.
Not at all. One of the most heartbreaking cases I ever had was a guy who was literally thought to be someone that would be the next great American artist. He was a brilliant artist. He was, sort of a bullet in terms of his importance in the art community. And all of a sudden, he couldn't lift his brushes, and he just deteriorated.
Wow.
And I'll never forget his attitude as long as I live. He just looked at me and smiled, and he said, you know, this disease just sucks. He left behind three little kids.
Wow.
And he just was like, nothing you can do about it. And it just, you can't say it any more than that. It's just a disease that it absolutely sucks. I do believe. Listen, I want to commend even Kevin for throwing ice on his head, and I hope you donated after that.
I did.
because if you this is dollars well spent, in my opinion. They're getting close on this one.
I donated because I couldn't imagine that just dumping ice water on my head would help anything.
Right, exactly. Me too. I didn't see that as particularly effective. But as compared to like muscular dystrophy per se, which is something you're born with, the genetic sort of the muscle, that's not likely to have any discrete solution. This is a very specific disease process. We are very, very close.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. We're going to let you go and catch your subway here, but I want to hear it from you because we're starting to see, as I'm sure you are, Dr. Drew, online, some pushback from people who are tired of it or who think it's stupid, who just want to throw shade at it or something like that. But it's working.
But here's the deal: it's working, but it is a little played out. It feels a little bit selfish. Hey, it's about me throwing ice on my head. That's not what this is about. I think anyone who hasn't done it yet, do it purely and specifically on behalf of the ALS project. Do not do it because, hey, you want to be a part of this. And it's not fun. It's actually a sort of somber commitment that we should be committing ourselves to here.
Do it and donate, both.
Yeah, or absolutely. Play it out. It's play it out. Or maybe just get on video and say, hey, I'm not going to throw the ice. I'm just going to donate.
Right. That's fine, too.
Mission accomplished, everybody. Let's not make it about us. Let's make it about
all
the
right.
ALS.
Dr. Drew, 5 nights a week, Sunday through Thursday with Mike Catherwood on Loveline here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday at 6, and the Dr. Drew and Adam podcast, the Dr. Drew and Mike podcast, available at drdrew.com or podcast1.com. Have a great time in New York. We'll talk to you soon, Doc. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
If I had to die by peanut, though, the cashew would be my first choice, because that is the best peanut.
Yes. That was a moment with Bean.
Cashew is the best peanut there is, really. Although I think peanuts are probably the best peanuts.
That's just probably true.
I think cashews tend to be good cashews.
I think I was using peanut in the term just to mean all nuts, I think is what I was going for.
Oh. All nuts are peanuts.
Okay. I mean, incorrectly, obviously. I accept your scorn.
Oh.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning at 9:37. What's going on?
If I was
going
to eat peanuts, I think walnuts would be my favorite peanuts to eat. I like walnut butter.
They don't make walnut butter, do they?
No.
No.
What do you got? You got your almond butter, right?
Yep, you got almond butter.
Peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there cashew butter?
Yes.
Huh. No walnut butter.
Mm. No. Walnut oil.
Ah, yes.
They reserve it for the oil.
Right.
What's happening?
Food talk.
Macadamia? Is there macadamia butter?
I don't know.
There's macadamia nut oil.
Some nuts are not held in high enough standard to make a butter out of, I guess.
How expensive is that?
Seriously, what's happening?
It can be very expensive. Nut butter can be very expensive.
Yeah. Right.
What's in the water out there?
I don't know. What's in the
water? It's so hot here.
All right, take it easy. Stop complaining.
I don't want to talk to that woman anymore.
Well, you must be really happy.
No, I'm not. I'm very unhappy. Today is the Simpsons Marathon beginning.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it is great. It started around 7 o'clock this morning. All 552 episodes all the way through Labor Day, September the 1st. So start watching now. Don't do anything else. Just sit there and just watch.
Yes, Pete?
Has the animation changed a lot on The Simpsons? Is it one of those shows like South Park where you go back and watch the early, early episodes and it looks a lot different than it does today?
Very much so.
It would have to. How long has it been on, do you say? 21 years? 25 years?
6 years, maybe? I think this is year 26, just getting ready to start, I think.
Well, first season was 1989. So you do the math.
Worst episode ever.
25 years. Mm-hmm.
This is the worst summer ever.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's a pretty sound.
If that was my mom.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Kardashians are in the news. Kim Kardashian. Her tax information has become public. And it turns out that of all that money she raises on her eBay store, where she sells off her used clothing and then says she's going to donate a portion of the proceeds to charity, out of $440,000 raised, just $44,000 went to a charity.
I mean, well, at least $44,000 went to a charity.
Well, $400,000 went to her pocket.
Right.
The charity that she donated to, by the way, was the Life Change Community Church, which is founded by her mom.
Well, at least the family got that contribution as well.
That's right. At least they got the tax break and the money.
And all of it.
Yes.
Odd.
They are like a mafia family. I think Kim, like, knocks people off with her ass.
I have no idea what that means.
She sits on their heads and smothers them with her giant ass. She's like,
do I get one?
She's an assassin.
Yummy.
And TMZ has new photos of a Henry Cavill cruising around downtown Detroit in his Superman costume while he films scenes for the upcoming Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. So
how bad is that going to be?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny Rogers is 76 years old. Nothing? Okay. Kim Cattrall is 58. Serge Tankian is 47. Carrie-Anne Moss, also 47 years old today. Singer Kelis. 35 years old today. That's what I'm told. That's how her name is pronounced. Casey Musgrave is 26 years old. Hayden Panettiere is 25. Comedian Bo Burnham is 24. And Jesse James Rutherford. He's the singer for The Neighborhood, don't you know? He's 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Harley from Epic Meal Time in the studio. We have Tim and Eric from Bedtime Stories. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. And we have our old friend Rob Zombie joining us tomorrow morning as well on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.